T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Usually when we're this far apart, time-wise, I always say, I miss you, Dale, and I don't usually miss you.
You're a mean man.
But you know what? I even missed you this time.
Ah! Over here.
Dale Arnold.
Swings and drives one in the air, left center field, hit deep, back goes Davis, back to the wall, he's done it again.
Looks up, he leaps, and it is gone. Christian Vasquez does it again.
Rich Keefe.
That's why a lot of former players aren't good general managers. Clearly the best, draw a line, love Lamar Jackson, but it's Patrick Mahomes and then everybody else.
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
He just looks a little bit thicker.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number 3, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI, broadcasting live from our Shaw's and Star Market studios. Rich is off for the long weekend today. Our buddy from WEEI.com, Andy Hart, is in the house. We would be remiss if we didn't take advantage of Andy's extensive football reporting experience. And we'll do a segment here about the NFL Top 100 that was announced this week. But before we get to that, I am told, Andy, that Tuba Man has a High Noon hot take here today.
Close to High Noon.
High Noon.
High Noon.
This is High Noon.
Cue the High Noon music.
Give me my High Noon music.
Before he gets to this, I just happened to be skimming through Twitter during the break, and 1 hour ago, Tuba Man himself tweeted, "I feel like an effing champion today." The hell is that in relation
sure do.
To?
What is that?
He's been telling us he's hungover all morning.
Right.
I don't know how those go together.
He said he downed a sixer
a lot
of Trulies and
a lot of video game related incidents last night.
So. Oh, okay. Effing champion, here he is.
Yes, feel like a champ today, Andy. And here's why. I allowed this hot take to brew all week, and it finally bubbled over yesterday
to the brewed point. Brewed in a vat of Truly.
Yes, it did. And it was there was a lot of blueberry acai in there, and I am here to tell you that Patrick Mahomes, at the end of his career, will be no more than the equivalent of Aaron Rodgers. He will have this awesome
Hall
hot start.
QB.
He'll be good. Yeah. He'll be a Hall of Fame QB, but he's not going to be the GOAT. He's not going to be he's not going to live up to this contract. He is going to have a super long drought between this and the next time he wins a Super
okay,
Bowl.
Okay, so wait a minute. How many Super Bowl rings does Aaron Rodgers have?
Only one.
So you are saying he will not win another Super Bowl?
I think Aaron Rodgers has a shot to win one more before he retires.
We're already beep. We're carning it.
No, beep. I'm not beep. Backing it up. Beep. I think he doesn't win more than two. So we already won one. He wins
two's
no
impressive,
more.
You know. Two is impressive.
Eli Manning won two. Anybody can win two.
Not anybody can
not
win
anybody
a lot of people
can
haven't
two.
Won two.
A
the
lot
right
of people haven't won
in the right
two
situation,
really
anybody
good.
Can
what
win
I just
two.
Said,
and,
yes,
and some
I know.
Of the, and some of the best quarterbacks who ever lived, like Dan Marino, never won one.
And some of the really
the
good
right
quarterbacks now are stuck
anybody
at one.
Can win two.
In the right situation, anyone can win six.
That's
no?
not true.
No? Is that not where we're going
here? Let's not stretch it that far.
So you believe that Patrick Mahomes, is this just a physical take or is there a mental aspect to this too? Because I am not the biggest, I think Aaron Rodgers is phenomenally physically gifted.
Yeah, and I believe
I think
Patrick
between
Mahomes
his ears and between his ribs and chest bone or wherever the hell your heart and soul is, there are questions about Aaron Rodgers.
And I think Patrick Mahomes, you will feel those same questions eventually.
I don't like it.
At some point,
don't like it.
At some point, he is going to get rocked. He is going to get beaten down by some physically dominant team. I can't tell you what team that's going to be yet. But he is going to get beaten down, and he is going to question everything he knows and feels about the sport of football Jeez. For at least a season.
Just like Brady did along the way.
Yes.
Because Brady did. There were times where Brady was questioning what was going on around him, motivations, all of that. But I want to get back to, I do think there's some truth to the how does Mahomes react, adjust to the problems that are coming. There are problems on the horizon. I've said this, you know, everybody he got hot and bothered because he, I thought, in the same way cornerbacks and quarterbacks consider themselves elite or whatever, have to have that confidence, said, well, if you're going for greatness, the greatness has been set. It's Tom Brady. It's six titles, right? So we're shooting
that's,
for greatness.
That's the bar.
I think that's fine. I think whatever you do.
And by the way, the chances of Mahomes or any other quarterback getting there don't seem real good.
Nope, because how many times have been done?
Once.
So it's hard to do. It's ridiculously hard to do.
And
but
Chris Jones' statement that they're going to play for seven is ridiculous.
That's like LeBron talking about NBA titles in Miami.
Yeah, but
not
at least
one,
LeBron can back
two,
it up.
Not two, not three.
Chris Jones by himself three, can't back
not
that
four,
up.
Well, that's true.
Not five.
Chris Jones pretty good now, though. Pretty good
he's
player.
Fine.
He's always fine.
Overpaid.
I'm sorry, PFF graded him a 72.2 last year, so I think he's overrated because I read it on a website.
No, I don't. I just believe.
Geek.com.
No, I just believe you don't overpay D linemen.
Okay, let's get back to Mahomes for a minute, though, because at some point, Andy Reid's going to retire, right? So there'll be a coaching change. He's not getting a full career out of Andy Reid like Brady got out of Belichick. They're not going to be together for two decades. At some point, Kelsey's gone and Hill is gone and the weapons change and some of the weapons you bring in, like, they won't work. You know, they'll
Mitchell
take a first
Schwartz
round
is
receiver.
Gone and your offensive
everybody.
Line crumbles a
and
little
some
bit.
Of them will be replaced by competent talent. Like Brady loses Moss and, well, a couple years later, boom, they hit on Gronk. But there'll also be failures along the way where you bring guys in to replace other
Rashay
stars,
Caldwell
playmakers.
Rashay
Caldwell, early on it was Donald Hayes was like the first receiver they brought in free agency.
Best receiver is Brandon Lloyd.
Right. There's going to be those years. How does he react to that? Does he end up Rodgers, which has always been, remember Rodgers for years, it's, well, the most productive quarterback in football is Brady or the winningest quarterback, but the best quarterback, the most talented quarterback, that's Aaron Rodgers up in Green Bay. There will be a time where that's probably true of Mahomes, and yet somebody else is winning more. They're in a better situation, better coach. How does Mahomes deal with all those stressors and those things? But to label him at this point, which could be a one-time Super Bowl champion, that's a hot take. It's a hot take. I don't agree with it because I think he's going to be in the mix every year or most years for the next
Aaron
decade
Rodgers
plus.
Aaron Rodgers was in the mix almost every year, too, and then he started missing the playoffs.
And there's a
and
few issues there.
And then he started fusing with his
coach.
His
coach stunk. Aaron Rodgers is a dink. He played for an organization that was philosophically against signing free agents, which I've never understood, just limiting your
or
ways to build a roster.
Offensive weapons.
Right. Like their whole philosophy in Green Bay has hurt Aaron Rodgers, but I also think Aaron Rodgers has hurt Aaron Rodgers with his attitude and his sense of entitlement. And wait, you hired a new running backs coach? Why didn't you ask me who I should hire? Well, because you're not part of management. You're just a player, Aaron. But I don't get the same vibes from Mahomes. I think Mahomes has more winner in him, competitor in him, where those things become positives. Wow, you think Mahomes is a dink?
I think Patrick Mahomes is a dink.
That was the hot take of all hot takes right there. Mahomes dink.
So don't just say it. Back it up.
What do you want me to do, Dale?
What is your evidence that he is what you say he is?
Aaron Rodgers has plenty of evidence that he could be a dink. What is the evidence that Patrick Mahomes is a dink? Was it that time at the pizza place where he and his wife were having, or girlfriend were having that quiet dinner, no one bothered him, and as he snuck out the door, he paid every bill in the place? Was that the dink thing?
Anybody that has that, though.
Oh, so his voice makes him a dink.
His girlfriend's voice. It's not even him.
Yeah, it's not even him.
Oh, because his voice is a little bit of a weird
voice.
Yeah,
his voice
too.
A little bit. And he
so his girlfriend's
on,
held against
he
him.
Put, first of all, he puts ketchup on literally everything.
Okay.
Also,
so
dink.
He's a young child. That's
that
fine.
That makes him a dink?
No, yes. That makes him a child. That does not make him a dink.
Childs make men
so
dinks.
So women are held against their quarterback men. So when Brady was dancing on tables with Tara Reid, did that mean he was never going to win anything? He's a dink.
For years, I heard people criticize Brady for his dating life and ever since he started dating Giselle, he hadn't won anything, and then he finally won something.
So Brady's a dink too then by that logic.
So Brady's a dink.
No, he started winning stuff again.
No, he was our quarterback.
You're not a dink.
Oh, if you win, you're not a dink. There's so many rules in this geek world.
I just think Patrick Mahomes is a dink.
You can't just keep saying that.
Yes, you can. When you look at someone,
I think you're a dink.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just going to keep saying
it. When you look at someone, you look him in the face and you go, that guy's a dink.
See, I look Patrick Mahomes. Now, I'm going to give you something that I think he could go down the road of Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron Rodgers likes to, too many times, throw off his back foot, throw at weird angles. Ooh, I can do this. I can do that. I can hold on to the ball and make, I can do that. the fascination that Mahomes has with, oh, I got this new play where I throw behind my back to the receiver out on the screen. Why? What is the effing point?
The thing that bugs
me. Get over yourself and just win.
The thing that rubs me the wrong way is the overconfidence. It's too.
I hate when my quarterback is confident, Dale.
No,
like that quarterback who just left here wasn't overconfident.
So Tuca's not confident enough. Patrick Mahomes too confident. To placate people like Shime, you got to be right in that middle zone of confidence. And right, exactly. Who's more confident than Tom Brady? Who's more cocky than Tom Brady?
Tom Brady doesn't go out there and like feel like he's openly mocking people on the football field.
He doesn't?
What? Did you watch him play here?
So basically all you're saying is Brady is great because he won, which is fine. But the same attitude, you would have labeled him a dink if he only had one. He's not a dink because six, dink with one. So it's all about the scoreboard.
No, because
personalities are relevant, voice is irrelevant, is irrelevant.
His personality rubs me the wrong way. I think he is a dink. I look at a guy like Lamar Jackson. I don't think Lamar Jackson's a dink. I think he's extremely talented, and he is just, he's focused. His focus to me seems all about being as good as he can be. Whereas Patrick Mahomes wants to be a star. He wants to be in the spotlight. He rubs me the wrong way. I think he's a dink, which is what Aaron Rodgers did to me. When he was younger, I thought he was a dink.
So does Brady want to be a star?
Is he unworldly talented? Yes.
Does Brady want to be a star?
Brady wants to win.
Apology accepted.
When he was going to Miss America and meeting with the Pope and sitting in on the Senate.
Did Brady
and
have a dink phase?
State of the Union.
Does Brady want to win? Yes, more than
Mahomes. So you believe
Mahomes doesn't want to win?
I don't think
he has the same drive to win.
You are coming off as such a homer right now, like just a hater from afar.
Oh, please.
Because the next big thing, people had the audacity to compare Brady and Mahomes and winning.
I don't care.
Look what Mahomes has done in his first 2 years as a starter.
Is Mahomes physically more talented than Brady?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Has he done more in two seasons as a starter than Brady did in two seasons? Absolutely.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, Brady won a Super Bowl in his first season.
Right. Mahomes won it in his second.
Cool. And then Brady won two more in his next two seasons. So let's see what Mahomes does.
You can't hold anything against Mahomes that isn't 2 years.
Let's see what he does.
Let's do fair comps.
Let's see.
Okay. So you just hate Mahomes because he's not a Patriot. He's not Tom Brady. You got your footy
jammies on now. I love Lamar Jackson. He's not a Patriot. He's a Baltimore Raven.
Fitzy just texted me. He's embarrassed for you for this take. Fitzy is embarrassed. That's how bad this is.
That's not even true.
It isn't. But if he's listening, maybe he will.
He should.
This is a terrible take. So he's a dink. He'll never be anything.
I love Lamar Jackson. I love Russell Wilson.
Who would you rather have?
Those guys aren't Patriots.
Who would you rather have? Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson?
For how long? And are the contracts in play?
Sure. Whatever parameters you want to put in place.
Give me Lamar Jackson.
Oh, my God. You're a boob. You're an incredible
without
boob.
Andy Reid, without that offense, Patrick Mahomes is a lot less than what he is right now.
Wait a minute. You think Patrick Mahomes is a product of his offense, not as much as Lamar Jackson's a product of his offense?
No.
That was tailored completely to him, personnel-wise and everything?
Yeah, and
Patrick Mahomes could go start for any team in the National Football League and be an above-average quarterback right out the gates.
Yeah,
Lamar Jackson
is fine.
Could not do that almost anywhere else, not named Baltimore.
I believe he could.
I believe you're drunk.
You take MVP Cam Newton, and you at that time you put him on any team. What's Cam Newton going to do? He's going to carry that team. He carried nothing to a Super Bowl. You put Lamar Jackson on any team, he is going to carry you until he gets hurt.
Lamar Jackson is a product of his offense. It's run first. It's tight end heavy. It's I'm going to have a guy that can do whatever I need behind me running the football.
The guy that's throwing Mahomes, into the tightest windows in the league is a product of his offense.
I say this in all seriousness. Patrick Mahomes could walk into any of the 32 NFL cities and he has a chance to start. And yes, I include Tampa and Green Bay and Seattle and any
and
other
Lamar
damn
Jackson
city.
Lamar Jackson does too.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he
Lamar
does.
Lamar Jackson doesn't have a shot in hell of starting for the Tampa Bay Bucks.
You're out of your mind.
I almost swore and said snot and so many things all in one word. You think he would start over Brady in Tampa right now the way that offense is built?
Yes, 100% of the time, 1,000 million percent of the time.
How long to truly stay in the system?
If Tom Brady was still in the Patriots, I would rather have Lamar Jackson here than Tom Brady.
Okay, that's a different argument.
I'm talking about the specific nature
of Tampa where there's actual aerial weapons.
You want to put Tom Brady on, I would rather have Lamar Jackson on that team.
Wow. You are so far up Lamar Jackson's ass, it's not even funny.
No, I'm realistic.
Hey. Sorry. Apologize. Realistic for what? The guy
is
a rusher.
Lamar Jackson is otherworldly talented.
Yeah, when he runs the ball.
Yeah, that threw 36 touchdowns.
When he runs the ball. When he passes the ball, there are still very legitimate questions.
In the league.
Oh, tight windows. Is this Giardi?
3.7 yards of separation, but that was the lowest to the highest of the plus 3 Delta 4.
I mean, when the numbers and the eye test pass,
but he doesn't pass the eye test.
Oscillation, you can see it there.
What do you mean he doesn't pass the eye test? He's the MVP.
He's a runner. He won the MVP based on his legs,
he
not his arm.
36 touchdowns.
That's you say that like it's 50.
Can I?
36 is a good NFL season.
Let me just
not great.
Guys, let me just back it up to Hot Take Boy here for one quick second.
Ooh, called you a boy.
Even Hot Take Boy yesterday said that Lamar Jackson shouldn't have been number one on the NFL 100, that Patrick Mahomes should have been.
No, I did not say Patrick Mahomes.
No, he
Mahomes.
Said Russell Wilson.
I said Russell Wilson.
All right, so Patrick Mahomes should have been where?
Two or three.
He's shrugging.
And where would Lamar Jackson have been on the Shime list?
Four.
Still shrugging.
So you said Lamar Jackson was not as good as Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, Patrick Mahomes just won the Super Bowl.
Isn't that
year.
What you said?
I acknowledge that.
But winning the Super Bowl
no,
doesn't
in the
make
eyes
you
of
better. Because you wouldn't have said the same thing. If Jimmy Garoppolo made one pass and won the Super Bowl, you wouldn't have said, Jimmy Garoppolo won the Super Bowl, so I got to have him number one. You wouldn't. I know you wouldn't. You'd argue against Jimmy
no,
Garoppolo.
No, absolutely, I absolutely
okay?
would.
So winning the Super Bowl is not the be-all, end-all relevancy here for how good a quarterback is.
I understand that.
So who's the best quarterback in the National Football League?
Russell Wilson.
Who's the second best?
I guess Patrick Mahomes. It's close.
Okay, so you know they're better.
But Lamar Jackson, to me, has more potential to grow. Lamar Jackson has so much more
potential
in front of him.
Patrick Mahomes has played how many years in the league?
Two. And I think he's just about
hit
his
ceiling. And a Super Bowl champ. He's hit his ceiling.
No, Dale's pretty close to it.
He's actually hit on something here. Lamar Jackson is such a low-level passer that he has the greatest room for growth
he's
in this group.
He's not that low-level.
Oh,
he
he's
just
very
has
low
an
level.
Exponential amount more growth to have than Patrick Mahomes.
Well, you can't be great and elite. And
I didn't say
like,
he was
Mahomes
an elite passer.
Mahomes can't get exponentially better because he's really good already. There's not that much room for growth. Lamar Jackson has all this room for growth because he's not a great passer, right?
He's a good passer.
By stats or by eyes or by what he accomplishes? How do you, how are you measuring?
The size
he's
of
a
the
good
windows?
Passer. He's, yeah. not, he's not great down the field. I'll
26
give you that.
Inches
but
of separation,
Tom Brady.
Dale. Barely over 2 feet.
Hold literally on. Didn't even use a statistic there.
Hold on. Steve on the truck phone wants to ask Shime a question.
Hi, guys. How are we doing?
Hey, good Steve.
I got one question for you, Mr. Shime.
Yeah, what's up?
What did your buddy Lamar Jackson do in the playoffs besides crap down his leg?
Crap down his leg?
Yeah.
Crap down his leg, yeah, twice. And don't give me the garbage that Mahomes would do the same thing with the same people. Mahomes, and I don't like Mahomes, but he makes plays. Lamar Jackson without his legs is nothing. He is not a passer.
The only reason Mahomes won a Super Bowl is because Jimmy Garoppolo didn't make one pass. That's the only reason he won a Super Bowl.
You are out of your mind, brother.
He threw multiple interceptions in the biggest game of the year.
That happens.
Okay. Oh, so it happens to him, but it can't happen to Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson has crap down
Jackson
his leg
will
twice.
Never win a Super Bowl.
He hadn't even started the full season the first
good
time.
Good hot take by Steve.
Never
Lamar Jackson
win a
will
Super
never win.
Bowl, my man.
Yeah, talk. Never call win a Super call Bowl, back. Call back in March when he's already won one.
Chris, let me just and to follow up Steve's point. Lamar Jackson in his career in the playoffs is 0-2. His completion percentage is 51.1. He's got 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I mean, you cannot deny that he has not been a good playoff performer.
So the
his playoff Bowl, quarterback his rating playoff, is 68.3.
His first playoff start was his 9th career start.
Okay.
And his second playoff start, he ran into a hot team. It happens.
What
Brady's run into hot teams before, too.
I actually think he got screwed. That game when he was wasn't the first drive he drove right down the field, hit one of the tight ends in the hands. It went right through the guy's
Mark
hands.
Mark Andrews, yeah, and it got picked off.
He got screwed there. Now, this is where I jump side. But let me ask you a simple question. So you believe as of next March that there'll be an NFL season and Lamar Jackson will have a Super Bowl ring on his finger.
Yep, they're the best team in football.
Who is going to win more Super Bowls, Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes?
Lamar Jackson.
Good golly, Miss Molly. You amaze me with how all in you are on this. And I appreciate the sell job. I don't know if it's for the radio show or if I actually think you believe this.
It
which
is realistic.
Makes it all that more remarkable,
I
sad.
Think, I believe Patrick Mahomes will have a longer career. I believe Lamar Jackson will win more Super Bowls and more MVPs.
That's I think there's a chance Lamar Jackson never wins a Super Bowl. A very strong chance.
That's
I think
fun.
Players like him struggle to win. I think
Chris,
players that aren't elite passers struggle to go often enough to win. Players that rely on their legs struggle to go often enough to win.
I recognized the talent before other people did, and I ride
well,
or die my homies.
Because the talent was recognized his first year at Louisville when he blew up and then petered out at his career
at
Louisville.
And that's why he was plus 5,000 to win the MVP, right?
Petered out.
Shime, who's a better quarterback, Lamar Jackson or Dak Prescott?
It's Lamar. Come on now. I'm not that silly.
But you're a big Dak Prescott
Huge
guy,
Huge Dak
too.
Prescott guy.
Do you think he's better than Patrick Mahomes,
no,
too?
No, okay. Let's not get crazy here, Dale.
Well, you're mixing and matching your craziness. Crazy. Yes.
No, I do not.
You are
Dak
cuckoo
Prescott
lipstick
is,
list.
Is, he would have to have a lot of things go right to even
I'm
be
stupid.
Considered for the Hall of Fame. I am well aware that Patrick Mahomes is probably going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, but that's because Aaron Rodgers is too. And Aaron Rodgers had a great career. They're both otherworldly talented. They can have the very similar projections.
Who's a bigger dink, Rodgers or Mahomes?
Rodgers by a landslide.
Okay, because I'm still stunned that you
there's
think
different
Mahomes
levels
is.
Of dinkage.
I'm still trying to figure out where you got him. To the dink scale.
He rubs me the wrong way. It's just like the.
So in other words, you got nothing.
No, I mean, Dale, there's certain people that rub you the wrong way. They make
right.
you.
And they do something that pisses you
yeah.
off.
Yeah, his attitude pisses me off.
Like Cam Newton rubs me the wrong way. And I said, when he does the Superman thing and sort of pushes teammates out of the way and says, look at me, camera one, I'm about to celebrate, make sure you get this good angle, rubs me the wrong way. So I have a specific thing that I articulate. Could you please articulate a singular thing?
It was the 26-yard run he had. It was either against Houston or in the Super Bowl. I completely forget which team it was against. And nobody hit him. And he thinks he's so, everybody praises him and everybody worships him because he made this 26-yard run because people are scared to hit the quarterback.
So he's Tom Brady.
One day.
So he's Tom Brady.
No, you didn't let me finish. One day, one of those guys is going to hit the quarterback and he's not going to think like that anymore because he's going to become a scared little puppy.
This is amazing to me.
There is some irrational hatred going on here.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I don't
root for the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't root for Patrick Mahomes.
I do now.
But I look at him from here and I say, God, there's not much to negate here.
Well, just so you know, Scheim is exposing himself in the Fitzy and Jerry Thornton Club.
That's
if not Patrick
true at
Mahomes
all. I'm rooting
somehow
for Lamar,
arrived.
I'm openly rooting for Lamar Jackson, Baltimore, who's been one of the biggest rivals for the Patriots over the last like decade.
Yeah, it's a strange wagon to hook up to. Or no, hook your wagon to. Horse, something.
Yeah, nice try.
Shut it. Go drink some more.
Well, I will tonight.
I don't think we necessarily want to, you know, advocate that he do that. I'm just baffled by it. And I'm trying to think if there's a player that I have an irrational hatred for. And I...
Like, you ever just see somebody and you're like, man, I just want to punch that guy in the face.
That lawyer from Making a Murderer, that dude just has it coming. The one with the Ken Kratz, that was his name.
Yeah,
Esquire.
But he sort of gave you reasons to want to punch him in the face.
Bryce Harper is a little bit for me. I definitely would love to punch
Otherworldly
him in the face.
Otherworldly talented?
Yes.
Dink.
That's a clown-ass question, bro. Don't call me bro and eat my fist. Yeah, so that would be one. But I can also acknowledge, well, no, he's greatly overrated. Guy bats like 240, and people think he's the best player in baseball.
Yeah, it's a tough comparison.
He's going to break his back, too. That's where he's got a little Lamar to him because he's physically not going to be keeping up the torque of that swing.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk about the progression of Major League Baseball. Is this going to work? Buster Olney from ESPN will join us next. It's Dale and Keith. Andy Hart's in the house, and it's time to trend.
Dale and Keith.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
Let's talk some baseball. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline from ESPN is Buster Olney. Buster, it's Dale and Andy. How are you?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
I'm kind of wondering about baseball right now, and you're the perfect guy to ask. It is Friday, July 31st. There are six teams not playing tonight due to COVID-19 positive tests. Are you becoming more and more concerned about the viability of this season?
No, I'm at the same level of concern that I was at the beginning. When at the outset of the summer camp, I had a lot of people at the team level telling me that they thought that in a lot of respects, the health and safety protocol was Swiss cheese. You know, at the beginning of that, I said I thought there was, based on what I was hearing at the team level, I'd say there was 0% that they would get through it. I think the odds are better than that now. I'd put it somewhere in the range of 40%, and I'll tell you why. Because, I mean, we certainly, you know, in the last week, we really focused on the Marlins and what a debacle that is. Today, we're talking about the Cardinals getting a couple positive tests. But generally speaking, what I'm hearing at the team level is, you know what, we're getting better at this. You know what, we're figuring this out. You know what, the players are trying to make this work. And it's becoming almost like a competition for people within these team groups where they now look at the Marlins as being, okay, well, this stupid group of young idiots who couldn't figure this out. You know, they're calling out, increasingly the players are calling out Major League Baseball when they see issues with the health and safety protocol. They're kind of flexing their muscles a little bit. But I feel like it's pretty clear that people are trying to make it work. Whether or not they can, I don't know. But there's an effort definitely building.
Buster, as we see games postponed and series postponed, when we get to the end of the year, are teams going to have played basically the same number of games? Or is there going to be a pretty big divide between teams that maybe lost 10, 15 games to shut down and teams that maybe played a full 60-game schedule?
Yeah, I think there's a good chance that there's going to be a big divide. You know, one of the questions I did SportsCenter the other day, and they were like, you know, where's the you know, what are the chances of fair and balanced schedule? Forget it. It's out the window. It's like the, you know, when you were a kid and you were playing a wiffle ball game in the backyard and you're making up the rules as you go along. If you hit the ball onto the roof, it's a home run. If you hit the windows, it's a double, et cetera, et cetera. That's really how it is. And if it turns out that the Marlins, you know, play, let's say, 40 games and, you know, the Red Sox play 55 games or the Mets play 60, I don't think they care. I think it's absolutely head down, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead, unless, you know, the two wild cards for me are, one, the Russian roulette, which obviously they're playing, that's inherent, and that somebody, especially someone of prominence, gets either very sick or, God forbid, worse, or two, it just unravels to the point that you have, you know, multiple teams to the point of, like, 8, 9, 10 teams shutting down. Besides that, I mean, we've seen last night they agreed to the doubleheader rule. It just at 7 o'clock last night, and it's already in place for Sunday for the Cardinals and Brewers. They are just making this up as they go, trying to generate a product and get to the postseason.
We're talking to Buster Olney from ESPN. You bring up the point I was going to get to next, which is how well thought out do you think Rob Manfred's approach to this was?
I got to be honest. I don't think it's it all thought out, and I don't think there's anybody at fault for that. I think this is totally so unprecedented that there's just it's so difficult for them to try to anticipate a lot of the issues that are going to pop up. You know, at the beginning of this, they said baseball's like a rowboat in a hurricane. You know, they can do what they feel like they need to do in terms of what's on their ship, but they're completely at the mercy of the government of Canada, the governor of Pennsylvania. You know, I've wondered about Massachusetts, which has obviously done a great job in handling this, and would, you know, rules change as they went along to make it, that would make it more difficult for players like the Tampa Bay Rays to come in. Here in New York, look, there are definitely things, like we found out about the Marlins issue last weekend, that there was clearly confusion on the ground about what was supposed to happen when you had one player test positive on Friday and then three more on Sunday. Major League Baseball this week moved to plug that hole. As I say, though, when without precedent, without any training, the fact that the general managers now are like COVID governors in baseball, I feel like that generally speaking, everybody's trying to do the best they can.
You referenced the seven-inning doubleheaders that they're going to play starting this weekend, and I'm a baseball guy. Grew up playing the game. I still coach the game for my kids. I like baseball, but I've often had a dream of shortened games, and we're seeing, you know, DH rule changing here in these COVID times and some other, you know, this runner on second base. Is there any chance that they get a taste of seven-inning baseball and say, you know what, that's a product that we could sell moving forward, and with the door cracked open, some of these changes stick around in the future?
100%. Absolutely.
Yes.
You know, this is an audition for things to come in the sport. And, you know, some of it maybe they won't like and throw out. But there's been in recent years, obviously, an increasing conversation among front office executives about having a universal DH to protect the pitchers who are the, you know, the most valuable assets. The conversation has been growing in front offices and even among some players they talked to about, you know, these ridiculous 16, 17 inning games. My God, game three of the 2018 World Series, 18 innings was one of the worst games we've ever seen in our lives. Nothing happened during the course of that game. And so I think baseball is trying to figure out a way against that. And I remember about 8 years ago when baseball really began the conversation about cutting the games by, you know, how do we get the games down to 2.5 hours? I had a major league general manager say, there's one way to do it, cut it to seven innings. And I repeated that on national television. I got absolutely crushed. And then this spring, I'm starting to hear more about that. Now, I don't think that one's going to happen, but let's face it, a doubleheader of seven innings, I think, makes it easier, especially now when teams are so concerned that the erratic training of this year has contributed to this mass of pitching injuries we've seen.
The Miami Marlins have been in a hotel in Philadelphia for a week. The reports out of Philadelphia is that the infected people, the 17 players, two coaches, are going to get on a sleeper bus and bus back to Miami. The non-infected people are going to, I guess, bus to Baltimore and ultimately to New York and then to Buffalo. What's going to be the ultimate fate of the Marlins here?
So I'm pretty cynical about this. And I was covering baseball back in 1995, and I think it's instructive to remember, and I think only 7 of the 30 owners from that time are still in place, but I think it gives you some insight into how they're thinking. That spring, 29 of 30 owners voted to put replacement players on the field, Class A and Double A players on the field, and to prop them up as a major league product. Under the current circumstances, I think that they will find 30 Marlins jerseys and throw them on people and put them out there. And, you know, they've got these groups of 60 players that are available. As far as we know, 19 players have tested positive. I'm sure their view is, well, that means 41 haven't tested positive. They've been going out and adding other players. I think that once they get past this momentary apex of their crisis, you will see a group of ball players with Marlins jerseys, and they will plow ahead.
Buster, what was the reaction to Joe Kelly's antics against the Astros the other night, and then the reaction to the significant suspension that he got in this shortened season?
Among other teams, it was absolute outrage that Joe got that many games. I got a text that night from someone, a manager in the game. He said, if I hear one more person feel sorry for the Astros for what happened, you know, there are a lot of people who feel like, hey, you know what, they did what they did, they got what's coming, and they're going to have to live with it. And you know, based on precedent, I mean, typically a reliever in that situation gets 2 to 5 games in a 60-game schedule, and you guys, I'm sure, talked about this. His suspension's the equivalent of 21 games. And so around the sport, there was outrage. I will say this, you know, back in, I really believe that the biggest mistake in the whole sign stealing thing, back in 2017, when the Red Sox and Yankees had their Apple Watch thing, Rob Manfred had an opportunity to come down with an absolute hammer discipline and to say, this stops here. We're kicking people out of the game. If it happens again, this is going to end now. And he had a chance to alter behavior, and he failed to do it. And in the vacuum of that, the Astros things happen, Red Sox, plenty of other teams, I'm sure, got involved. And it felt like the other day that this was that type of moment where Chris Young, who was the head of discipline, and made the recommendation to Rob Manfred, look, we don't want this season to be open season on the Houston Astros where everyone's throwing at them. We want to alter behavior. We're going to send a message with this discipline. And if that's what they're aiming for, I at least appreciate the fact that they went hard as opposed to just sticking to precedent.
Well, can I also say, though, that while I didn't have a problem with Joe Kelly throwing it at the Houston Astros, I understood that part. And I think that the punishment was an overreach by Major League Baseball.
Yep.
I also thought Joe Kelly was dead wrong where he was throwing the ball.
And I agree with you. And I felt like, I don't know how you guys did during the course, because I was watching it live, and Joe was spraying the ball all over the place. I mean, he really has struggled to command his fastball the last 2 years. And it almost was like when he got to 3-0 on Bregman, it was like, you know what? I'm probably going to walk him anyway. I'm going to do something with this. And then he threw the ball behind his head. A lot of people assume that he didn't throw at Correa because he was a breaking ball. I actually believe he did. And he was kind of in the midst of it. And here's the thing. You guys know this. A lot of these times, these beanball situation comes down to the personality of the pitchers. Like when I covered Andy Pettit with the Yankees, he hated retaliation. Couldn't stand it. Didn't want to do it. Joe Kelly's on the opposite end of the spectrum. I don't think he minds if the Astros think he's a little crazy. And he got worked up. I would say this. I think Dusty Baker should have been suspended as well because the field mics clearly picked him up. chirping at Joe Kelly, and the idea that Dave Roberts would get one game and Dusty wouldn't get any, I didn't think it was fair.
After a breakout year last season, Christian Vasquez offensively has picked up where he left off, and I'm just wondering, what's the perception of Christian Vasquez around baseball? Is this some short-term aberrational offensive output, or is he now maybe one of the best all-around catchers in baseball?
Yeah, he definitely is developing into that. You know, I jokingly said on a podcast that I do this morning that he probably right now is the early season leader for American League MVP. He's playing great. I remember when he started to hit last year, you felt like, okay, that's an outlier, and maybe it's just a juice ball. He's in control. And I'd say this, just in my time covering baseball, catchers tend to, and maybe because it's a position they play and they're understanding what the pitchers do, man, they tend to get better in a way that maybe guys at other positions don't. Christian's a smart guy. He absolutely invests himself in the game. You guys know his relationship with the Molina brothers. And I feel like, yeah, he's definitely climbing up the ladder. If JT Realmuto right now is the best catcher in baseball, I think Christian's got to be in the next three or four.
We always appreciate the time, and thank you for the information. Buster, good to talk to you again.
Good to talk with you guys.
See ya. That is Buster Olney from ESPN joining us. He thinks they're just going to find a bunch of uniforms and stick a bunch of bodies in them, and if they go out there and get waxed, so be it. At least we'll call it a major league game.
But what if it's a
and
Disney
cynically,
movie?
And cynically, I actually think he's right.
But what if it's a Disney movie or major league? And what if those
the
bums,
Mighty Marlins.
Yeah. What if they get hot? Be a great story. Going to be a heck of a story, as Julian Edelman say. Hell
heck
of a story.
Of a story.
Let's go. Or they may stink, but, you know. Yeah,
I think
one
that's probably
ways.
More likely, but, you know, whatever. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got wise words from Wiggy still to come. Plus, the Astros owner has spoken a little bit about his team and the target that seems to be on their back. It's Dale and Keefe. Andy Hart's in the house. Sports Radio, WEEI.
Now back to Dale and Keefe.
I'll let this cat out of the bag
on WEEI.
All right, even when Rich is not here, he's taking a long weekend today, and good for him. I'm happy for him. But even when he isn't here, there's a segment of the show that we trot out on Fridays that, Andy, we just can't pass up because it's one of my favorite segments of the whole week.
Always delivers.
It always delivers, so without further ado, it's time for Wise Words with Wiggy.
And now, Wise Words.
When you look at the screw-ups versus getting it right.
From Wiggy.
He's going to have a better career than Zion Williamson.
Ooh,
I understand the mistakes. Why not just trade for David Njoku? I just learned how low T impacts your life. That's the issue. And then when you look at that issue in a shortened season, because the shortened season is the biggest issue out of all of it. Even with Dante Hightower, you got one on your roster, and that's Jarrett Stidham. Over there at
Northeast Health Men's.
Well, you know what? We've all stuck words where they don't belong.
Yes.
That's happened to all of us. I think sometimes his mouth is going faster than his brain.
Yes.
Like he's got an idea of what it is he wants to say, but it's the words are coming out before his brain has a chance to kind of formulate them.
That is true. And then I think there's other times he has no idea what he wants to say, and he's just kind of speaking and filling air. I also think you have two guys behind the glass that tend to fixate on it. Remember when Jason Witten, it was like first couple weeks, oh, he's not great, and then people fixated on Witten or Phil Simms, and then they looked for every possible bumble and fumble throughout a three-hour broadcast. It was all over Twitter. There were Twitter accounts dedicated just to, well, that's what it is. Now Wiggy's
Ibukam.
But we don't just focus on Wiggy. We fixate on everybody screwing
that's
up.
True. That's true. If N'Keal Harry
equal
is healthy.
Equal opportunity.
N'Keal healthy is Harry. Yes, Dale doesn't screw up, though. He's the professional here.
Although, the time.
Along those lines, Dale, could you could you give me maybe an extended forecast, a weather report, and tell me which hurricane is on the horizon?
Yeah, I've heard 18 different pronunciations about this. I think it's Isaias.
You know what I see, for whatever reason?
It looks like Isaiah.
No, I see Asiasi. I see the Patriots third-round title. My head just goes to that. It's like I just immediately, and I know that's not right because it's not spelled anything like the same, but I just see A's and I's and S's, and I get in trouble.
The acai berry.
Yes. So do you know how to say the hurricane's name?
No clue.
How did we get here? How is that the option?
I think it's actually Isaias, but I'll also say this.
How about Ike?
And it was a number of years ago where they started going a little further afield. And look, I understand you run out of I names. How many I names are there?
Ignatius.
But, yeah, and Israel. But it does seem like...
Icarus.
Yeah, why?
Flew too close to the sun.
Yeah, well... but it does seem like they're almost trying too hard with some of these names. And if we can't say them, how do we know how to be afraid of it?
And some of them are out because they get retired. Like the really bad ones get retired. Hurricane Andrew and Hurricane Gloria, I think. Or, you know, they're in like the Hurricane Hall of Fame. You can't reuse those. But there's got to be other I names out there than... I don't know what this name is.
A lot.
But what is this name? I didn't know this name existed.
I assume it's the Hispanic version of Isaiah. That'd be my guess.
Okay. So have they already used Isaiah?
Don't know.
Couldn't have gone with just the more traditional version of Isaiah, as in Isaiah.
Or just Hurricane Ike.
Like, I feel like
quick.
Broadcasters everywhere are going to struggle with this. If it happens to be a big one that becomes notable and like, oh, we're live outside on the beaches of South Carolina down in Isaiah. Like, I have no idea what it is. Keep it simple for us. We're stupid.
Everybody knew how to say it, but I'm sure nobody realized when they put out the list of alphabetical names before the hurricane season starts. Nobody knew that the worst hurricane in the history of planet Earth was going to be named Katrina.
Right.
You know, it sounds so feminine, so pretty. Katrina. And it was devastation.
It's like chlamydia would be a beautiful name if it were...
Excuse me?
If it were not a STD.
You know what? You know, you just need to just cut that right out right now.
Yeah, talk less.
Can you guys tell me my takes are dumb?
Nope, he's much dumber.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
And he even picks his spots. He doesn't talk all that often, and seemingly every time he talks, it's still stupid.
As our Twitter friend Dice said a minute ago, whatever Wiggy wise words from Wiggy happened... He didn't say anything as dumb as Shime's hot take at noon or what we just heard from John.
Nope. The producers take the day. Dumb is behind the glass.
I'll take the W's wherever I can get them.
This is not one you want to win.
When I feel right, I'm fine.
Any publicity is good publicity. If they're talking about me, even if they call me stupid.
That's a W. That's E1.
That's an L. James is going to go W.
That's going to be an L. You're going to take an L on that one when Patrick Mahomes goes.
Kudos to me.
Lamar's never winning a Super Bowl. Never.
Yeah, wait until March.
The Super Bowl's not in March. Why don't you say February?
See, it's
because it's going to get pushed back, according to Jardy, I believe, said that.
If it happens, it's probably going to get pushed back. I'll say this. I openly mocked Shime for his Lamar Jackson MVP prediction, and he nailed it.
Yeah.
So I'm a little hesitant to kick the crap out of him on this.
Dale, I believe this is like the definition of doubling down. Like, okay, he
nailed
it.
I ride or die my homies.
How about you walk away? Walk away a winner. Just be happy. Walk away a winner. Elway into the sunset.
No chance.
I'm going out on top, baby.
I ride my homies. We're going all the way.
This is not a good look for you. You shouldn't be riding your homies this hard.
When we come back in just a couple of minutes, Chris Curtis took shots at Andy Hart, and I'm not having it. Kemba Walker thinks going to play tonight as the Celtics return to NBA play. And the owner of the Houston Astros says, I'm sorry. Now the question is whether you're going to accept it. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!